We've got the band back together. I'm joined on my left by Ruby Walsh, and we are rolling on the road to Cheltenham, and it stays this way all the way to the festival itself, including a special extended edition on the Monday of Festival Week. We'll be live from Cheltenham Racecourse on that day and are very much looking forward to it. And from the look of you, you have been stung by Nick Luck's comments about the way you turned up when you graced that chair previously.
Absolutely. Nick embarrassed me. Simple as.
Looking very smart is kind of what I'm saying.
Thank you, Lydia.
Should we get on with it?
We will indeed.
We'll start with the Gold Cup. And do you remember when we first started talking about the road to Cheltenham? Do you remember what you said back then?
I much preferred being a jockey. People never reminded you of what you said.
well, we're going to do that right now. So let's remind
ourselves.
Seems
to be happening a bit in this job.
Let's remind ourselves what Ruby said back then.
I know he's had a wind up since. His head carriage there is quite high, which would suggest he's looking for a little more air than he's getting. Mm-hmm. I think he jumped particularly well. What I didn't like was how little reaction there was to Nico de Bonneville's urgence. His reactions were so slow, they were so lethargic, and he was all out, not idling, to beat the runner-up, who jumped terrible. Santini jumped brilliant. That's about as far from a Gold Cup performance as you can get.
It was.
It was.
How relevant it is another thing, but it was.
It was. So that was when I was constructing an argument that Santini might still be a forgotten horse after Sandown for the Gold Cup. He's come back at the weekend and done this. What do you make of his run in the Cotswold Chase?
I think he did what Gold Cup winners have to do, in that he stayed very strongly. But you can see Nico de Bonneville slapped him down the shoulder. I know they're going at a faster tempo here, but it is quite reminiscent of Sandown. You saw Nico slapping and squeezing and pushing, and he's the same here again. Now, the argument watching this is that's Bristol Demai, Topfield Bend, the Rasher Counter, Slate House. They're decent horses that are struggling to keep up, but he's, to me, is flat to the boards. It's a great jump, I think, at this ditch here, or have to jump the ditch. See the way he shortens. I love that.
Yeah.
He does it without Nico having to take him back. He does it of his own accord. Jumps to fourth last well, but I don't know, Lydia, this is a six runner race where he's going along with loads of room on the front end. Bristol Demai is dragging him at a really good gallop. Is he going to find this much space and that much room and time in a competitive Cheltenham Gold Cup?
I think that's the real issue, isn't it, with Santini? Because on the plus side, Bristol Demai is a top class horse. We know that. Third in the Gold Cup last year, you know, at his best when able to dominate. That's a big mistake from him at that point, and that allowed Santini the advantage. Santini obviously makes a mistake at the next. I like the way he recovered from that. When Santini needed to jump, he was very good, and that's a great asset to have.
It's a huge asset. I think even if you watch him at the second last, Nico could have fired him in real long. He doesn't, he sits. The horse doesn't really shorten enough and hits it a good thump, but the horse learned from it because he's on quite a similar stride at the last, and Nico never has to slow him down. The horse learned from it himself. He sits up, let him shorten. He doesn't really, runs through the top of it, loses a bit of momentum. Nico grabs him again together and he goes to the last on a similar stride, but this time he shortens and does it himself. So he learned from the mistake. But I still, he's a dour stayer, he'll keep going. Gold Cup winners do, but what is he reminiscent of? A native river, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Of course you can win a Gold Cup, but does he strike you to be as classy as other Gold Cup winners? I don't think so.
I think you're right. If he's going to be a Gold Cup winner, he's going to be a staying Gold Cup winner. And I totally take your point about him being able to hold his position in a smaller field. That is the concern about him. On the flip side, Bristol May is a high-class horse who was controlling that race from the front, and he was winding up the pace, wasn't he, on the second circuit? It might be a more solid end-to-end gallop.
It is, but if you allow horse that lack a bit of pace, if you allow them time to get on their feet and build into the race, that suits them much better. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you go, they go hard early in the Gold Cup and he gets off his feet and you're chasing him, but properly chasing him, then it becomes a different ballgame. I think when you allow a horse to build into a race, they can stay much stronger. But if he gets rushed early, you can just, for the want of a better phrase, you end up cutting their throat.
Where would you position him in the Gold Cup field? Let's imagine it's a good Gold Cup field. Let's say there's 14 winners.
Oh, so you know he's going to jump, so Nico will line him up as handy as he can, get him out the gate and get him forward.
But on the outside?
With a bit of room. That depends. You could get below to the start and everyone could decide to go on a bit wide for better ground, and all of a sudden the room comes down the inner. But now there will be fresh ground on the very inside in the Gold Cup, on Gold Cup day, so there will be a scrum for that. Has he the pace to get a real good position on that ground? I doubt it. But he might get in on it after going a half a mile.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, because there's room for two, isn't there?
A bit more, maybe.
A bit more.
Maybe three. But you'd be surprised when a race thins out. the ones that are going well tend to get on it. I just wonder if they go really quick through the first mile in the Gold Cup, he could end up finding himself back a long way to stay on his feet, and then he has to pick his way through traffic, and that doesn't become as easy to ride him as last Saturday was.
I think that's the flaw, but I'm kind of looking at the opposition and thinking, where are you?
Yeah, and there is that argument. Obviously, if Ken Boy, Albin Photo, Delta Work, Clan de Zobo, there is opposition, and some of them have doubts about stamina. I think Clan de Zobo at 3.25 miles anyway, he's a brilliant 3 miler. You'd have Lost in Translation, who didn't run his race in the King George. You'd be surprised, come World Cup Day, more opposition will crop up than you think.
Absolutely, and there's obviously a significant race this weekend as well in the Irish Gold Cup. But let's find out what you think of Santini, because it's got you talking, certainly, starting with Jay Dutton here, who reckons that Nico and Nicky Henderson have one hand on the Gold Cup with Santini already. I thought the point that Jay makes about soft ground there is quite pivotal, because although Nicky Henderson thinks that this horse will be as effective on a sand surface, in fact better on a sand surface, I think he might like a bit of cut.
I think the cut will help him, as in if it slowed the others down. Now, the other side of that coin is, if he does want good ground, it could add a bit of speed to Santini as well. I don't know, I've never sat in the horse, or and his form, to me, is there much difference on good or soft ground?
He's only really encountered soft ground,
And it looked slow enough today. He won an entry when he beat Roxana.
It was.
So that's his only grade one success to date. So, I don't know, with quick ground, it'll go one way or the other. He'll either be tailed off or it'll put spark in him.
Let's have a look at Dan Cole, who's talking on Facebook here. I just want to draw your attention to the one below there from Chris Clark. The algorithm has selected that out of 17 replies. The algorithm, or my producer, who knows, has suggested that response as the most appropriate one.
What did you do to Ben?
I don't know. He tells me, honestly, that was the algorithm.
I do believe, Chris, that Lydia has been making a case for Santini for quite a while. Have you not?
I have been, but he still thinks I'm clueless, which is fair enough.
He could have put in Ruby as clueless, because Ruby's been making no case for
him. How about Dan Cole's point at the top? No one mentioned Santini all season. and then he wins the moderate race. And I'm sure the bookies give the pundits backhanders to promote certain horses, as everyone is pushing Santini at the moment. Well, that's because he ran it at the weekend.
He did, and he ran to a fairly high mark, so it's easy to make a case for Santini. Look, he's not for me, but that's not to say he won't win a Gold Cup. Nicky Henderson, Bobsworth, long run, he knows how to do it. Nico de Vonville won on Cooney Gray, who was a slowish horse, but made all. A bit different. Cooney Gray was enthusiastic. I'd like to see Santini being a little bit more enthusiastic to allow Nico to ride him that way.
Yeah, yeah. This is A.D. Filano 10, the 10th of the A.D. Filanos. Road to Cheltenham. Santini may stay, but he is not a Gold Cup horse. Delta Work is a Potemps winner already, a Savills Chase winner, and will reverse the form with Al Boom Photo, he thinks, though, however, will win the race.
Well, number 10 is not sitting on defence any of the other 9 do. Will win. Look, Delta Work probably has to jump a bit better than he did in the RSA. He was fine in Leopardstown, smaller field, ridden on the outside, bit of light. That's wonderful, but again, can you... War of Attrition did go around that wide and win a Gold Cup, but can you, in a field like this, here you have him in last year's RSA, there's the first mistake, and there might be niggling mistakes, but he's still wide and getting a bit of light. Now, you can see him there, he's behind Santini and he's behind top of the game, misses the second last with a circuit to race. Away from the stands, he's moving up on the outside again, just clumsy. I don't know, is that in front or behind, but he's not getting any rhythm through the fence. He goes in between here at the last ditch, kind of hurdles it again. He's just low, and he's not the most straightforward ride in the world. Davey Russell down the hill to the third last, I think he's okay at this one, lands himself in the race with Santini, top of the game is behind him, but he's going as well as anything there.
He is,
yes. Round misses the second last and the two horses get by him, Santini on top of the game, the door closes on him now, and by the time Davy Russell eventually gets him with a bit of room to go and race, top of the game is jumped by him, Santini closes the door, now where does he go? And he doesn't get running, he still hasn't really got stuck into him, he's still winding him up, eventually gets after him, he doesn't lose any more ground, but he's a strong stare who'll be coming at them, and I think a positively ridden Santini will definitely suit that to work.
If his jumping can work, because that isn't an aberration. That isn't just, you know, here is the RSA chase and here he didn't jump very well. All season and running on the run-up to that, he was a little bit scruffy.
He's a bit hurdly, is how you'd put it. Mm-hmm. He doesn't give his fences much light. He's right across the top of them, but he did jump well enough in the Savile's Chase at Christmas, and Leopardstown can take a bit of jumping.
He did. Let's have a look at the... oh, no, we're going to do that later, the betting. I was jumping ahead to the betting there. Let's have a look at Real Steel next, because this is an interesting horse. He won at Turley's, the Grade 2 there. It was a five-runner race. It was well a long way back to the horse in green, Footpad, who, again, is disappointed here. What did you make of this?
Well, to watch him there, for a horse whose form is much better going right-handed, he's shifting ever so slightly to his left to jump. Now, Paul Townend was the one who made the point, having ridden him quite a bit, that he was much better horse going right-handed, or he felt he was, and all his form is going right-handed. And after winning a Kinloch Bray, you're thinking maybe he's a Ryanair, but to me, he jumps quite high. You saw him early in the race there. Footpad, who was behind him, has jumped by him. He got badly outpaced early on in the year in Down Royal in the second season novice chase. I just wonder the way he goes through a race, does he actually want to go a good bit further? Now, he does hold a Gold Cup entry. Has he achieved anything like Santini, Delta Work, those horses? No. But has he the pace to win a Ryanair? I'm not certain.
OK, the Dan Royal point that you were making, that was his first run of the season when he won.
It was. So you would be expecting most horses on the first start of the year to be a bit keen, a bit fresh. If you watch Paul Nicholas's horse in front in the yellow colours, watch how the gap widened at that jump away from the stands and down right. You expect the horse to be gassy and fresh on the first start. Yet even early in this race, and Real Steel again is high and clean there, he's losing ground on the opposition. Mm-hmm. That's in a 2.5 mile chase in Down Royal on his first start of the season, in only a Grade 2, I think it is, against second season novices. So when you go up to Grade 1 company against open horses, is he going to have the pace to hold a good position?
He's in the Ryanair and he's in the Gold Cup. We're discussing the Gold Cup in this section. Are you suggesting that he might, in terms of trip requirements, he might be better suited for the Gold Cup?
I think he might, and you can argue that his Cheltenham form is... I don't fancy him, by the way, in either. But arguing which race he should run in, probably the distance race would be the better one. You can argue his Cheltenham form is not great. He ran in the Albert Bartlett, but that came off a fall in Leopardstown, where both himself and Charger fell, and neither progressed after that as novice hurdlers. And in last year's JLT behind Defi Desai and Lost in Translation, I think you can put a line through that when you watch this. He's at the very back of your shot in the red colours down the inside. He's travelling well in Paul Townend's hands in this race. But I think this jump wipes out whatever chance he had in that race.
Absolutely. I mean, that's a chance-ending error, isn't it, at the Cheltenham Festival
it
particularly?
It is in Grade 1 company, so, I mean, you can put a line through that. That's, to me, I'm only trying to prove to you that his Cheltenham form mightn't be taken on face value, but I do believe he wants to go further.
I think that's fair. You could look at the particulars of both of those races and think of excuses, the Albert Bartlett and particularly the JLT, I think. But does he want to go right-handed? I mean, Paul Townend has maintained that to Willie Mullins, but the first thing apparently that he said when he got off at Thurles was he jumped as straight as a die in a right-handed track, telling Willie, with a horse that he wants to take to the Cheltenham Festival, that the horse will be fine for going left-handed, you know.
Yeah, I know, but...
You must have done that yourself.
Of course I have. But you make a case, you roll the dice and see what happens. It's easy to be wise after, but... His form is form. And all his winning form is going right-handed. Whatever way you dress it up, however much you can try and talk around it, that's the fact.
They are. He's a good horse, though.
He's a very good horse.
Sadly, one very good horse that we're not going to be seeing either this weekend or for the rest of the season, so therefore not at Cheltenham, is Sizing John. And Jesse Harrington, his trainer, has tweeted to say that unfortunately the horse won't be running this weekend. He wasn't 100%. This was earlier in the week following the fast work, and it's going to rule him out for the rest of the season. Very frustrating for all our team. We've only seen him once in the last 2 years, and unfortunately that ended up on the floor over hurdles on New Year's Eve at Punchestown, didn't it?
It did, and obviously the horse who was probably his nemesis for a lot of his early career was Duvan, and they have gone on similarly frustrating paths ever since. You know, but Sizing John, he was travelling really well when he fell in Punchestown and seemed to overjump and stumble a full stride after the hurdle, so it was a really unlucky fall. But it is frustrating and disappointing. I know from watching the work that goes into Duvan, the amount of work that must have went into Sizing John to try and get him to there for it all to go pear shaped is disappointing.
It's that time of year, isn't it, though? Because trainers are starting to turn the screw ahead of, you know, serious targets, targets that their whole season maybe have been framed around.
Yeah, and more miles on the clock. And, yeah, or did we just notice more horses going missing this time of year?
It's possible.
Because they've won and they're building up a reputation.
Yeah.
Whereas I'd say plenty don't appear that you've forgotten about.
No, you're probably right. You're probably right. The voice of reason, I've always said it. Let's have a look at the betting, at least in the last second or so. We can have a look at the betting. Alvin Photo, then. is the favourite, and a rightful favourite.
I think
he?
He's a worthy favourite. Yeah. I mean, he was very good in Tramore. You can argue the figures whatever way you want, and he is the defending champion. That might be going against him, the fact that he's trying to retain the Gold Cup.
Yeah, I like the fact that the team have stuck to the same lightly raced, exactly the same routine as last year. Why change a winning formula?
Yeah, I know, but still, what was the last horse to regain it? Best Mate? Yeah. Or not regain it, but retain it even, yeah. Was Best Mate.
Regain it would be Courtois Style.
Would be Courtois Style.
You remember
the
that?
The only one. I can just about remember that one. Santini, Candice Obo, you know, brilliant in the King George, disappointing last year's Gold Cup.
Shelton's not for him, is it?
I don't know. We'll find out for definite this year. Ken Boy runs at the weekend, lost in translations, coming off a terrible run in the King George, but has to have his chance. Mm-hmm. Delta Work presenting Percy, they're all in the weekend. Native River, Ainsley didn't, he's running Ainsley, visually didn't do it for me,
nor
but
me.
The handicapper was impressed.
Yeah.
He put him up.
I didn't get that myself.
Neither did I, but he's put him up and he's going back. He's a Gold Cup winner, he's going back there. I don't know, maybe.
Where do you stand on presenting Percy? Because I know that lots of people felt there was potential to his last run. I kind of felt the other way, really.
I'm on the fence with him, on the fence with him. But I think when you do look back and give horses the benefit of the doubt, he was going to beat Album Photo a long way in an RSA.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He was. Undoubtedly
he's
the case.
There, you know.
Yeah. Album Photo is a totally different horse, though, wasn't he, the following season?
Yeah, but he went from there to win a 2.5 mile grade one in Ferry House, Album Photo, and then went and was going to win in Punchestown. You know, and he hasn't looked back, so maybe. But that's still, that form is still there. And it was Mona Lee. It was Album Photo was probably going to split Mona Lee and present in Percy. Mm-hmm. We saw Mona Lee at Christmas. The form is solid, so Percy has the ability if they can find it.
I suspect we'll be talking about him this time next week after the Irish Gold Cup. So those are our thoughts on the Gold Cup as things stand. Let us now move on to the Stayers Hurdle, which has got a new sponsor, Paddy Power, in the chair. And we're going to look focus, first of all, on the favourite, the horse that has been favourite all season and the winner of the race last year, and that is Paisley Park. And this is him in the Cleeve on Saturday.
Yeah, and here he's racing much more prominently than he has done in the past. And I think that will become part of the norm for Paisley Park as people realise how idle he is in front. Less jockeys are going to want to be taking him on, and to counteract that, Aidan Coleman will end up riding closer and closer to the pace. It happened with Big Bucks as well, but that, you know, that's just what's going to happen. So, you know, I wouldn't be worried about seeing him racing more closely to the pace. He's grand and relaxed, and I think that's going to become part of his armoury.
Up front, Jonathan Burke on Somerville Boys has ridden a chance maximising race for his horse.
I think he has. I think tactically and sectionally wise he's ridden this perfectly. He's still in front down the hill, but he's slowing him up. Look how keen Kilbrick and Storm is in the red if the cap fits. Paisley Park down your inside. Now here's the interesting part. So when Paisley Park jumps that, Aidan Coleman is happy, little tap on the shoulder to wake him up, and again now he starts to get serious, but Paisley Park responds immediately. Now Aidan sits up and takes him back again. You see his head moving side to side, he wants to slow him down, and just as he does, Johnny Burke opens up and goes on Somerville Boy, and that's where he poaches the ground. And that's what catches Paisley Park flat-footed. It's very hard for a horse to quicken, stop and quicken again, but Paisley Park manages to do it. And before they get to the last hurdle, this race is all over and he idles from there home. He does set the standard. I think he'd be very hard to beat, and he does everything 3 milers need to do. The way he races, the way he minds himself even. Look, as if he's saying to Aidan Coleman here, look, I've enough done, the race is won. I'm just going to saunter up here. You know, he's almost like the horse is thinking about his future and his longevity.
It's hard to pick a hole in him, isn't it? In fact, I think it's impossible. I think Somerville Boy has done enough here, although it wasn't a test of stamina at the trip, to suggest that he's going to run a good race in the Stayers Hurdle without having a chance of turning the form around.
I agree, but what does Johnny Burke do? I mean, if he goes hard the next day, it suits Paisley Park down to the ground, and yeah. I don't think he can ride it any better than he rode in the last day.
I think he tries to replicate that as much as he can, but somehow, there'll be some other horses that won't be wanting him to be able to do that.
Somebody will want to go a gallop.
Yeah, usually. Well, I say they usually do. They have done. They did last year. The year before, they ended
it was,
up not to.
It was slowly run race. Penhill ended up winning. That was a steadily run Stayers Hurdle. But
everybody was looking at each other that year, weren't they?
Yeah, big field, but no obvious superstar, was there? Everyone was waiting on Sam Spinner to go, and he never went.
Well, there were a couple of front runners in the race, and then in the end, they didn't go. Yeah. But in particular, Sam Spinner. Yeah. So you can sometimes get a steadily run, but
sometimes.
But Paisley Park can still win
in those
circumstances.
You get a steadily run Stayers Hurdle. Aidan Coleman's just going to sit right behind the pace. You saw there; he has the turn of foot. I think he's rock solid himself.
Now, could we have the impossible dream? Could Benny Didier turn up against Paisley Park. Let's first of all focus on Benny Didier, who I'm not going to remind you of what happened at Cheltenham last year, Ruby.
Don't worry,
she
I'll
said,
never forget.
Reminding Ruby of what happened at Cheltenham last year. But this are more happier circumstances in the Galmoy. What we saw of it was absolutely fabulous, wasn't it?
It was, and you know, at times in the fog on different angles, you could see where she was a bit alive and in Paul Townend's hands. But you know, she easily took it off Apple's Jade, who you see pulling up at the back of the shot, and Paul effortlessly moves clear of Bell of Penn Hill. Now, Penn Hill, has he run any better than he did at Christmas? I don't know. I wouldn't think
it's so. It's hard to say, isn't it?
It is hard to say. But this mare, look, the time was good, the sections are very good, the performance was very good, and with the run under her belt, I could see why Willie Mullins was thinking about
the Mistake's hurdle.
Not yeah, but contemplated it. Will it happen or not? I don't know is the honest answer. I know if I was still riding for Willie Mullins, there's no way it'll happen.
So that's going to be your advice to Paul, essentially.
To me, a bird in the hands were two in the bush. And, you know, Monday, Tuesday evening when you're in Punchester or in Cheltenham, if you can have a winner ridden and a winner trained, it's an awful lot easier than thinking, ah, don't worry, we've a good one on Thursday.
Absolutely. And
that's a long way away.
That's always been Willie Mullins' modus operandi. Let's have a look at what he said after that race in his own words.
And she's in both the mares and the stayers. I guess, yeah. Even though a lot of people would love to see her run against Paisley Park, it probably will be the mares, will it?
It's hard to know. That's, I mean, when she was coming up the straight today, I think, you know, I said to myself, that has stayers written all over it. I'll have to chat to Rich.
Would you like to see that yourself, if you had your way?
Well... What did you say again? But anyhow, I don't know. I mean, I thought the mare's hurdle and the ground is going to be right for her in the mare's hurdle. They always have softer ground the first couple of days of the festival, and it would be drying out by the third day.
And you'll probably win the mare's with something else anyway, though.
I don't know if we have something, but we'll see. You know, the obvious one to go is for the mares. But I'd have to look at the other race. I'll have a chat with Rich and we'll go through it, and maybe with Paul as well, and see what we all think.
I mean, you've had some fantastic mares. Annie Power, I suppose, is the one that stands out. I guess in terms of raw talent, she wouldn't be a million miles off her, would she?
God, I think she could be better. I mean, she went to France last year, took on their best mare.
Can I say I love the way that Willie Mullins just dropped in better and then moved swiftly on? It's just kind of sort of snuck
it
in there.
It's almost like Gary O'Brien insulted him. but I must remind him not to be thinking out loud in future.
Well, I think we know how you're going to be advising Paul. And you've got to put a bet up as well, which...
I just think it's related to this weekend.
Okay.
So if Honeysuckle can go on Saturday and win the Irish Champion Hurdle and ends up maybe running in the Champion Hurdle at the festival, that would make Benny Didier 1-3 in the Mayor's Hurdle or shorter. I think the double, Honeysuckle in the Champion Hurdle, Benny Didier in the Mayor's Hurdle, it all is relevant to what happens this weekend. But I think you might be holding a good docker.
And look, isn't Lorena in this mix as well, potentially?
She is, and she's still in the Scilly Isles, which is on Saturday. She's in Leopardstown as well, so she's still in the mix. But, you know, to me, Benny Didier would be very hard to beat in the Mayor's Hurdle.
Stop crushing our dreams.
A winner's a winner, lady.
I know.
Who remembers what's finished the second other than Crisp?
I know. Some people want 5 days at Cheltenham. Let's move on to the novice hurdlers, shall we? Because the entries are out, or at least four lots of races entries are out. We've got the entries for the Supreme, the Ballymore, the Albert Barlett and the four-year-olds in the Triumph Hurdle. We're going to focus on the older horses and then throw in a mare at the end as well. Starting with Fiddler on the Roof, and I'm going to put up a bet here with Fiddler on the Roof for the Supreme. This is him winning the Tolworth in January. Slightly more restrained tactics, I think, suited him really well. And he's come right away. He's got a mark of 154, I think it is, which is good enough to nearly just about win most Supremes and certainly plays. So at 8-1, I think he's got by far the best 2-mile British form this season.
And he's doing what a lot of horses don't do, and that he's quickening from the back of the last up the hill in Sandown. That's a good sign. My worry would be the middle of the race on him. And in Sandown on that occasion, away from the first hurdle in the back straight, I just thought he was caught for pace quite early in the race.
It wasn't a mistake?
I don't think so. He gets in a bit close, but a mistake, he should still have landed galloping. Robbie Power sits down in the saddle and hunts him away from it for 3 or 4 strides, looking for a response to get him back travelling. I don't think he'd have that luxury in a 20-runner Supreme.
You're in a dream-crushing mood, aren't you?
Your dreams, anyway.
I signed up for this for some reason. But yeah, I'm going to stick with it though, because I think the form says he's good enough for it.
I picked Noland in the Supreme off what he did in the Talbot Hurdle. York Hill won one and won a Ballymore. It can be done.
Mm, okay. You are going to take the reins for looking at the Ballymore because you've got one for that.
Look, I just want to stick up the big getaway. Has he achieved anything like Envoy Allen? No. Has he the reputation of Envoy Allen? No. You see him here in Leopardstown, trots out through the last, lands on all fours and fades tamely to finish fourth. You think, God, how can you make a case for this to be a Ballymore horse? But he raced far too keenly that day. He didn't jump anything like what he can. He's a huge big horse. But he turned up a nace last Sunday in a maiden hurdle and routed them and let gallop and jump. Look, I'm looking for an alternative then by Allen, who I think is rock solid. And I just think at a price, he could be it.
He won by 17 lengths at Nice, didn't he?
Yeah, but it's a maiden hurdle and you'd want to see a horse of his calibre go and do that. He's good and long here at the second last and he absolutely pings it. They're decent horses behind him without being superstars. The horse in the white colours in the right of your shot, and Mouse Morris is 121 or 2 rated horse. But he goes to the last here, and unlike in Leopardstown, when he meets it wrong, he's much more nimble, flicks out. Look, he learned from his mistake in Leopardstown, and he's bolted in. I think with his profile, he's more a Ballymore horse than an Albert Barr.
Oh, I agree with that. Does he have the tactical speed for a Ballymore?
I think he does. I think he has the pace to get out in a Ballymore and get a really good position, because Ballymores can often be tactical races.
Absolutely, that's why I'm asking the question.
Yeah, you can get on the front end on him and ride it a bit differently.
Okay, interesting. Right, those are the entries for the big getaway. He's in the Ballymore and the Albert Bartlett. We both think he's just not got enough hardened, gritty experience for the Albert Bartlett.
Look, on tradition, the Albert Bartlett is a race for horses with a bit of age and plenty of runs. I know last year booked a trend with Manila Indo, so we'll find out whether that is a blip or is that the way forward.
Is that the way the race is developing?
Yeah, I don't know. I think when you put in the horse you're going to mention, you're going to need plenty of racecourse experience to cope with them.
Which is exactly what the horse I'm going to put up at a big price for the Albert Bartlett has, and that's Ramses de Taille. And that horse won the River Don at Doncaster at the weekend. At the start of the season, he won the Novice Hurdle at Cheltenham. In between, he tried over fences. He's been second in the Grand National Trial last season at Haydock. And he's achieved quite a bit over hurdles. He's now rated 148. He's 151 over fences. And he's got loads and loads of experience. Penn Hill, who won the race in 2017, ran 25 times, including the flat, before winning the Albert Bartlett. You know what I mean, Harry, who won the year before 17 times. You've got Kennel Hill, who has placed in the race as well. He'd had a million starts. And Nenefar de Coulanges, who this horse is quite reminds me of, he is that kind of profile, and he won the race.
Yeah, and I agree with you, and I think like what he did in Doncaster like last week in the River Don, where he jumped out, was really on the pace, and they made it a race from a long way out. He's going to do that in the Albert Bartlett, which I think could expose horses with very few runs.
Yeah, absolutely. They had sort of talked about the Grand National, but he's been entered in the Albert Bartlett. Quick mention of Minella Melody, who is, we hope, in the Dawn Run. Those entries haven't come out, but is in the Ballymore already.
I'd be surprised if she's not in the Dawn Run, and what she did in Fairhouse last week when she beat Col Reavy, Dol Sheeta, Yukon Lil, and Ophelia Jessie's, the four-year-old, I thought it was a very good performance, and that would be a good barometer for the Limini. They both won it, and I think that's a good guide to the rest.
Very hot race, that was, the Terminella Melody run. Right, let's have a recap of the horses that we've both put up so far over the road to Cheltenham. Altior, Chacun Pessoir, I'm looking forward to this weekend. Mr Fisher's all right after the weekend.
Yeah, he's not bad yet.
And Santini, and we've mentioned the other two at the bottom, whereas you have done this. You've been much more restrained, haven't
much
you?
Much more reserved, haven't
I? Yeah. Riding a patient race though, aren't you? The Time Hill one is lovely, and the carefully selected one is lovely as
Can
well.
Can you see Time Hill in the Albert Bartlett? I'm not so sure. I think he's probably more a Ballymore runner. And look, we'll know by Monday, or Sunday even, whether the bottom one is of any use or not. The one in the middle, carefully selected, needs to just not do what he did in Nace last week and headbutt the odd fence, but you have great value by the favourite.
Absolutely. Well, that's it. We'll see you next week.